Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Let's Talk About the Husband with me, Zoe Lyons.
And me, Stephen Bailey.
Go on, Stephen. Keep going.
You want me to do the rest?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were taking the reins.
No. I've handed over the reins.
This is the podcast where we take a cultural look at all things pop culture.
It is indeed. Yeah, totally. I'm on board with that. The more we say it, the more I believe it.
I know you do, because we have many listeners these days.
Oh, we're in the tens.
We're in more than the tens, we're in the 20s.
We're in the 20s.
We're only joking, by the way, if anyone's listening. Sometimes we're facetious. But you know, we've not even had any guests again this series. Why? Because it's become a running joke that I've not even bothered asking people at this point.
It was your department. It was very, very much your department. And I think at the end of the year when we have our annual appraisal, we're going to have to sit down and talk about that and where you see yourself in 3 years' time.
Oh, God, don't ask me that question. I'd be living on a little house in the middle of nowhere in Sicily where you can buy a house for £1 because the kids don't want to live there.
I'd totally do that. I've been looking at Sicily recently.
Have you, Zobai? We could move together, get £1 each house.
Oh, love it. We could buy a street. We could take a tenner and buy a street.
Honestly, because in Sicily, isn't it?
Yeah.
They all want to move closer to the town.
Yeah.
But people want to still sell these houses, so they're selling them for £1.
We could buy an entire cul-de-sac.
Oh, we could just have people we'd like there.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I've never been to Sicily and I quite like the look of it. I imagine the whole place just smells of lemons.
Oh my God, I've just realised it was the Sicilian lemons that are there. I always think about the orange.
I think about the orange too, but predominantly the lemons. Maybe that's just because of my persuasion. I don't know. Just can't stop thinking about lemons.
Is that called a vagina?
No, but it could be, couldn't it? If you say anything suggestively enough, it could be code for vagina, couldn't it? You know, you could say, saw her Sharpie pen. Oh, hello, look at you, innuendo. If you say anything, it could be code for anything, couldn't
it? Just let me bend over and pick up my coaster.
Yeah, there you go. Filth. Absolute filth.
Hey, here's my award.
Oh, wink, wink. What's that from? Let me hang on. Bring that back into the screen again. Let me see.
No, you've got to mock me. You've got to mock me.
I will not. What did you win that for? Egg and spoon race?
You're going to die.
Go on.
You're going to die. So you know how I've never been really an awards darling. Not like you won for every fucking award. I mean, just look behind you.
Yeah, they're all there. You can't see them, but they are there.
Well, I got nominated for Best New Show at the Leicester Comedy Festival.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
My first nod ever. But they're so feckin' cheap that they don't even... Like, do you know when you've been nominated for awards, you at least get a little plaque for the nomination?
Yeah.
You don't get anything. So Rich went out and got me a little award and got it engraved because I've never had one. So it's very sweet, really. But
it's very gay looking. I'm going to be... That's a pretty gay looking award.
Of course, Rich got it.
Oh, hang on, I thought it was a rainbow face. It's a laughing emoji on
it's
a star.
It's a laughing emoji because I'm funny and I'm a star.
Oh, I quite like it.
Yeah, it's cute. I'll get you one for our, when we have our corporate do at the end of the year.
Oh, lovely. What'll I get? Best employee, most promising? lifetime achievement. I always think getting the Lifetime Achievement Award must be such a... It's a double-edged sword, that, isn't it? Whenever I've been at awards doing, somebody gets a Lifetime Achievement Award, I'm like, here comes early redundancy.
The industry's telling you, you're done.
It's time to go. It's time to go.
I think you could have most punctual.
Oh, I'm so... Yeah, I'm really on time.
That's literally what you bring to the table.
Yeah, most available. Yeah.
That's for us.
Yeah, most available employee. That's that would be my thing, definitely. And my trophy would just be an empty looking diary. That'd be marvellous.
You have weird issues with an empty looking diary. It's like, even though you're always goddamn busy.
I know, yeah. I did work this weekend. I did three gigs this weekend.
Tell me about them, because you don't gig. You're too famous.
It's not that I'm too famous, it's just I'm too comfortable on my sofa these days. I'm very comfortable.
And you're wealthy in other ways.
Well, I suppose. I had a nice weekend. I went to a car show.
Lesbian.
Oh, it was quite, yeah.
What else did you do?
Did three gigs, went to a car show, and then I started Googling cars. Because I'm
not going to buy another one.
Well,
last time you bought a bonkers car, it was a dark time.
It was a dark time, but I've been looking at buying another. Anyway, I shan't. I'll be sensible. I'll be sensible, Stephen. I'll be sensible.
What do you do at a car show?
Walk around. Go, I like your carburettor. I tell you what was
again,
there.
Vagina.
Yeah. No, that's her alternator.
I thought that would have been the arsehole.
And if you were going to have something that sounded a bit like a vagina, it would have to be a catalytic converter, wouldn't it? Oh, look at the catalytic converter on that. Wow. Anyway, there was a section of the car show where they had, you know where cars have those massive speakers in them? But you know when you see somebody going past and they've got, the speakers are worth more than the car and they've got them at full bass blasting tilt and it's just rattling to the point where every nut and bolt's going to fall off. Well, they had an area where they were just showing off their speakers. So you open up the boot and it had like these massive speakers in it and they started the music and honestly, Cindy and I had to walk away because we both thought we were going to shit ourselves with the vibrations. It felt like that secret Russian sound that they have. I think there's a sound that it can either make you pass out or poo your pants. I can't remember. There's quite.
Is it that? Wong, wong,
wong. Is it a bit like that? Yeah.
I remember, like, when I was, like, in school and everyone, like, college, I suppose, and everyone was, like, 17 and they got those cars where it was, like you say, like a 200 quid car with a 5 grand sound system. Yeah. I found that and they were like doing donuts on the supermarket car park. I found that acceptable. But do you know, like now I'm in my 30s and you pull up at traffic lights and like people that are in there also my age are still doing it. I feel like, oh, gross. Like when you see a purple Fiat Punto.
Yeah.
With that and those alloy wheels, I just think, fucking, like, you've got such a pussy car, and then you've done that to it. Like, what is going on?
Well, it's you play with what you can afford, don't you? You know, that's the thing. I sort of get it.
Well, I suppose it's like, because everyone always says, like, cars are like a dick, right? Like, if you have, like, a really fancy car, it's like, oh, get a big dick, sir. But I suppose it makes sense, because if you got, I suppose if you've got not a very good one, but then you know how to use it.
But then you know how to use it. Yeah, you've souped it up.
You decorate it. Distract. Distract.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's not, I don't have a big dick, but look at the wind chimes hanging from my balls. Ooh.
And I'll tell you what was quite interesting. I was at the car show with a friend of mine, made a new friend who's also into cars, and she owns quite a spectacular classic car.
Yeah.
And there was some. There was an old Ford Capri there for sale, and she was like, "You could get this though." Yeah, but it was quite sexy. It was quite a lovely one. It was sort of very late '70s, early '80s, I guess. It was beautifully, beautifully kept. And she went to ask the guy about it, you know, on my behalf, whatever. And he was so dismissive of her. He just, it was brilliant. It was classic old school misogyny. I was like, oh, well done, mate. You've absolutely misjudged it. Because if you could see what she's got in the garage, it shits all over your Capri. Like, it's this incredible American imported supercar. And he's there going, well, yeah, what would you know, love? And I'm like, oh, brilliant. Well done, Malcolm. You've completely fucking misjudged that one, mate. It's fascinating. Really fascinating.
You know, sometimes, though, don't you love, like, old school ways? You know, where, like...
Yeah. I love a bit of old school monogyny. Monogyny?
Monogyny.
What's monogyny, though? Monogyny. Oh. Monogyny actually sounds like a word, doesn't it, now I've said it?
It sounds like something to do with birds.
No, that's a, that's a menagerie. 10 Williams presents the menagerie. Yeah, the glass menagerie. Oh, We're just bright enough to be really stupid, aren't we? That's where we're on that cusp of, I know, just enough to be really stupid.
I'm
the glass, the glass menagerie.
Oh my god! You know what I mean, though. Like when you go to like previous generations, I've had two incidents recently. One I've already put on Instagram, and one is happened at the weekend where I went to Pizza Hut because I was at a gig. And I went in. It was about 3 o'clock I got there, so just went and had it. And
oh, a late lunch.
A late lunch. Or an early dinner.
Did you have to book?
It was only me in there. It was one of those, you know, that's on like an industrial estate as well. Yeah. And I walked in and the woman went, hi. And I said, can I get a table for one? And she went, oh. But I'd been on my own all week, so even I started to feel like, oh. But I was like, babe. Not made me feel great about deep throating a deep pan pizza on my own whilst watching The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills on my like.
Do they still have a salad bar in Pizza Hut?
They still have a salad bar.
I thought they'd had to get rid of that because of Legionnaire's disease or something, but they've still, oh, that's interesting.
No, still got. And yeah. She went, and then after going, she went, you've actually just missed the buffet. And the buffet closed at 3, and it was 3:01, and there was still buffet pizza on the side, and I thought, you could have let me have that, bitch.
Oh, come on,
yeah. Sympathy didn't last long. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, did you have a sort of Kirk Douglas downfall moment where you were just
My God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that happened. And then a couple of weeks ago at a gig, I have put this on Instagram, but this man came up to me and said, is this your car? And I said, yes. And he said, I thought you'd have a gayer car.
That's, yeah. I've still not worked out what a gay car is. Whether it's just sort of, when you turn it on, sort of rainbows come out the exhaust or...
Yeah. What's... The boot is my favourite. But someone actually said to me, like, some people have put really funny things, like a Mercedes bends me over, a Volkswagen Passat on my face. Like, people have commented really funny things. But then
like
there's
that.
Been a lot of people genuinely answering what they think a gay car is, and it's I think it's the Fiat 500 is the winner.
Oh, no, you see, is it though? I disagree with that. I think that's a sort of class, you know, that's a sort of, I always imagine sort of being in sort of 1960s Amalfi Coast, Italy, and my little Fiat 500 hugging the cliff edge as I swing around the curves with opera playing as I head somewhere for a romantic date with somebody on a beautifully balmy evening wearing nothing but linen.
Look how gay that sounds. There,
oh, that's
right,
so, yeah, that, yeah,
that sounds so gay.
Yeah, sorry, you're right, absolutely.
And, you know, we have to go by democracy. Like this week's show.
Oh, very
Trial
good.
By jury.
I was wondering how we were going to segue into this.
Segue
eventually. Very good.
Oh. A lot of people said Fiat, majority rules.
Oh, well done. Oh, well, the court's
out on
this one.
We're only going to do what we're always going to do, aren't we? We're just going to mention the show and then we're going to waffle about.
Yeah.
everything else we want to talk about.
Now, you suggested this show to me. It is Jury Duty on Amazon. And, I think I might be hooked. I'm only one episode. I'm only one episode, but it is very good. It is very good. So it's a spoof documentary where everybody except for one juror is acting.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's genius. It's really funny. Now, have you ever done Jury Duty?
No, I want to, though, so much.
Do
Send
you?
Send him down. Send him to the can. Oh,
God. God.
Have you done it?
Yeah, excuse me, sorry, I just burped.
And you're not one of those people that's done it twice, have you? Because that's kind of... I hate those people.
Okay, this is genuinely true. This is why Jury Duty is so funny, because it's got... what's his name? Marsden in it.
James Marsden,
who's brilliant.
I love from Hairspray.
Yes, and I quite enjoy from X-Men, so that's where we're coming from.
Everything you do is so lesbian today.
Thank
so
you.
So lesbian.
he tries to get out of jury duty because he plays the I'm a very famous Hollywood actor famous, who can't possibly be on jury duty because it'll distract the jury. Now, I did jury duty about... must have been about 10 years ago now. The first time I got called up, like the envelope came through the door and I went, oh, fuck, no. I had a tour in. And the thing is, you don't know how long you're going to be on jury duty for. You could be there for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Really?
So they do allow you to defer it. Well, you get like an allowance a day and some lunch money, I think, I remember.
So the answer to my no...
No, it could cost you a lot of money. Yeah. If you're self-employed, it could cost you a lot of money. I deferred it the first time around because I had a tour booked in. And, of course, that was, you know, you can't just, that's not work you can shift. So
no.
I had to sort of present, I had to present my case for that. And then they were like, right, fair enough. Then I got summoned again for jury duty and I didn't have a tour in. And they wouldn't just take I'm self-employed for an answer. So I had to do it. But I do remember at one point trying to get out of it by saying to the court, I've been on quite a few episodes of Mock the Week and I'm just worried that people might recognise me from that.
You really?
And you know me, Stephen, I never do things like that, but I just so didn't want to do it.
As the judge, I'd like to call you out on a few things. I'd like to cross-examine, if I will.
Mm-hmm.
You say, as I know you, you don't like to do things. But there's a lot of these stories, Zoe Lyons, where you go, you know me. I don't like to ask for anything. But I did ask for a free car.
Yeah.
You know me.
It gets worse, Stephen. It gets worse, right? No, they wouldn't take that. So I ended up being... like included in jury service. Okay, now I was in a magistrate's court, a court near here, and a case came up, and it was actually quite a nasty case with some violent crime involved. And they swore then you get chosen out of the 16 of you or so, and then you get numbers picked out of a hat whether you're in the 12. And I was called up for this jury service, so I was sworn in. And then the judge told us that it was a violent crime and there would be some medical evidence, pictures of medical evidence, you know, to support the case. Now, I'm a really bad blood phobic, really bad. And it was really hot in that court and I already felt myself beginning to feel a bit unwell because even at the thought of having to look at something that might include, like, injury, it was setting me up. I was having a slight panic attack, and and the defendants were behind this glass wall, right? I know they're innocent until proven guilty, but my God, good Lord, anyhow, And so they adjourned the court, and I had to say to the court usher, I went, listen, I've been sworn in on this case, but I am incredibly blood phobic, and if that gets shown pictures, there's a very high chance I'm going to faint. I can't control it. It's a massive phobia of mine. That wasn't an exaggeration. It was really, this is really true. Okay. So he went away and told the judge. They brought everybody back in the court, including the defendants, all behind this glass wall, right, this glass thing, staring at me. And they went, and the judge went, I believe we have somebody on the jury who feels they can't participate, you know, in front of everybody, right? And I went, yes, my lord, that's me. And he went, right, come out here. And I had to go and stand in the box, the witness box, right? He asked me why I couldn't do it. I had to explain. This is in front of everyone. So I'm now on trial in court. He said, why can't you do it? I said, because I'm extremely blood phobic. If I'm trapped in this seat and I can't get out, I will faint. I will have a panic attack and faint. So he went, right, fair enough. He swore me off the case in front of everybody, defendants behind the glass wall and everything, adjourned the court to find another juror to go in. They swore somebody else in. They started the case. He said to the defendants, how do you plead? They said the guilty, and the whole thing finished. So
oh, my God. So hold on. Because you got sworn off, does that count as like being deferred again?
No, because you're on duty for a few weeks or whatever comes in next.
A few weeks?
Yeah. It's very interesting being on jury duty because it's, you know, 12 random people. And so I did a few cases in that week, you know, short cases. And boy, let me tell you, it's potluck what you get when it comes to those 12 brains in that room. Because there were some people that I don't even think they knew where they were.
No.
And they were deciding somebody's fate.
This is what concerns me so much. Because isn't it just like random selection of the electoral roll or something?
Yeah. Oh, completely random.
So, like, first of all, like, even I should not be allowed to do jury duty because I feel like there was an episode of Charmed I really love where Phoebe was on jury duty and there was a dark, sinister demon twist to it where she had a premonition of a knife. I feel like that's the sort of drama I'd get wrapped up on. I'd be trying to get, like, premonitions and stuff. So, one, you don't want me on there.
But no.
Two, the way people vote for other things in this country.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say you're the political one. You say it. But I don't think people should. I don't know. I don't think we should allow stupid people to determine someone's fate. I mean, the only time we've made a good decision in this country is when Little Mix won the X Factor. Apart from that, we don't do it well. We don't. Do it well.
It is really disturbing. One case I had to sit on, I won't mention any details at all, but somebody was accused of something and we sat there for hours deliberating this person's fate, and eventually this older woman at the end of the table just went, I think the husband did it. And I was like, this isn't Agatha Christie, love. This is, the husband isn't on trial. Little Midsummer Murders.
I don't know why. Who came up with the concept? Like, people train in law. Mm-hmm. And we give stupid people, including myself, including you with your blood phobia, we get to decide someone's destiny. Like,
I know.
You might, if I'd be the kind of person that if someone came out wearing, like, you know, like a floral Burton shirt, I'd be like, oh, send them to the docks.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'd be like, that's the shirt of a murderer.
Yeah,
I'm just on their clothes.
I'm just googling history of jury service.
Oh yeah,
and originally jurors were neighbourhood witnesses who passed judgment on the basis of what they themselves knew. Oh my God! So it was just old. Yeah,
I'd be really good at it then.
You'd be really good. Yeah. The breakdown of the medieval society and the growth of towns changed the role of the jury, which came to be called upon to determine the facts of a case on the basis of the evidence presented, not what people knew. So that was, oh my God, can you imagine in days of old, just some old bag at the end of the road is a right curtain twitcher.
Burn the witch.
Yeah.
Burn the witch.
That's what it was.
Do you know what I always think about, though, like with jury duty? It's like, you have people that go to, like, say, the Strictly Twitter page or Twitter fan page being like, not voting for them, they're too gay. It's all a bit too much. And you go, well, wouldn't like them on my jury.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. When was the jury... it was introduced in the 12th century. Jury.
So here's a question then, because that is a big decision, because you really have to go... Because you... if, for example, if you want to send someone down for, like, murder, that's a big thing and a big sentence. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to be really sure within yourself that you were like, they murdered this person.
Yeah.
And therefore, I'm happy my conviction's in there. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to sleep at night and be like, oh my God, what if they actually didn't do it? Or what if they did do it, but they're a good liar? So what I'm saying is, I'm feeling like that, and I think I'm quite a straight shooter. You're really indecisive. What's the hardest decision you've had to make?
Me? In a jury situation? Or
no,
in a
life situation. A big decision you had to make where you wish you didn't have to make it. So not like, should I buy this car? Like, where you were like, I wish someone else would come and make this decision for me.
Oh.
I've asked that question with no answer of my own. I just came up with
I'm not very good at making any decisions at all. Buying a flat, things like that. I'm going to go and look at a new house tomorrow.
What?
And that'll be a big decision.
In Brighton?
Yeah, in Brighton. So, yeah. No. You see, but I don't have the to maybe spend on a new property, but there's a bit of me that thinks that maybe I'd like other people to make those decisions for me. Is this
I'll
the right
make
thing
that
to
one.
Do?
Go it. On.
why are you so bold with the do it? Why?
Because I think it gets to a stage in every other lesbian's life where she needs no one above her. No one behind her. And she just needs her own
abode.
And also, I'm so overpaying for management company service charges. Don't even start me on that. I think it's big. I'll be here all day and it's not interesting.
Mm.
So, buy a house.
Right,
that's
okay.
What you need to know.
Yeah, I'm going to go and see that tomorrow. So, that'll be a big decision that I wish somebody else would sort of...
Is it near where you presently are or is it a bit...
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very near where I presently are. I know the area. I've walked past the property. I've tried to imagine myself in it.
How big is it?
It's not much bigger than the place I have now, but like you say, nobody underneath, nobody above. And at my stage of life, I don't wish to be sandwiched by humanity.
Nice spit roast.
I don't want to be spit roast anymore. I don't want to be the meat in a love bun. Oh, so it's
a love bun of a vagina.
No, but it could be again. It could be anything. Yeah. Like I said at the top of the podcast, anything said with enough intonation could be a euphemism for a vagina.
Oh, even if you should buy it.
Okay, right. Well, that's that then. Yeah.
Can you send me a right move link?
Would you put yourself into a huge amount of debt at this point of my life in order to not be the meat in a human sandwich?
Do you want my honest answer, or should I try and be a bit correct?
I want your honest answer. That's what I'm asking you.
You have your child free.
Yeah.
Right, I don't know for this. If you expire with debt, who gives a shit? Like, it's not going to get passed anywhere.
No, that's true.
So that was my...
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I expire with debt, yeah. Yeah, you're right. No, I get it. No, it's fine. I'm very zen these days about the idea of my own mortality. So, yeah, you're right. Sod it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Do you, how do I ask this question? This is, would it change your outgoings drastically?
It would depend on how I sort of did it, I would imagine. But not massively, no.
Oh,
not
then massive. That's another one. Yeah, fine.
Yeah, fuck it. Sod it.
I think if you want a house and it doesn't change your outgoings drastically.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
And, like, you wouldn't have to work any more than you work.
No.
Well, do it.
No. I could I'd probably have to say yes to a few more things that I currently say no to just to stay afloat, but yeah, why not? Thank you, Life Guru. Thank you.
Yeah,
yeah, thank you. Namaste to you. Namaste. Namaste.
That's so exciting, though.
Yeah, well, we shall see. Well, until I see it, the jury's out, but, you know, I'm going to go around and... That's the other thing, you see, I never really know what I'm looking at. I just, when I go and do things like this, I go tap a few walls. I'll tap a wall, like I'll just tap a wall and go, that's a wall, that's good. What else do you look at? Like the plumbing? Do you look at the plumbing? Well, you should flush a toilet. There's a thing. If you take anything away from this podcast, learn that if you go and look at a new house, do flush the toilet because you don't know whether it's going to work or not.
When I was looking for this place, I went to a few and I'd be like, the carpet was brown.
So you don't buy in the carpet.
And well, that's what my mum and dad said, so they insisted on coming to everything with the 33-year-old son.
Yeah.
To be like...
A bit more.
So my dad would be like, this is a Worcester boiler. That's the best kind of boiler you could get. And I was like, okay, great. So glad someone's got a semi over a boiler. Like, seems like the place for me.
We had a boiler issue yesterday. Funny you should mention your boiler.
Is it because you didn't get it serviced every year?
Do you know what? Yes, it is. It comes back to bite you eventually. Oh, we had a pressure issue.
Question. Does your new place, I'm calling it your new place, I'm managing it for you, have parking?
Yeah.
Right, you've got to get it.
It does. It does. It's got parking.
All of series one of this podcast, we just heard about your shit parking.
Yeah, so it's got actual, its own parking.
When we do series three, we can hear about how you're pulling up on a driveway.
Yeah, it has got, like it's got its own parking. And I've always really weirdly wanted a carport. Now, I can't explain this to you. And a carport. It's sort of a shit garage. It's a garage without any walls. It's just
that thing over the top?
Yeah.
I've seen it.
And it's very sort of 1950s Californian sort of mid-century. And I've always wanted a carport.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. No, not that one. Oh, that flat-roofed one. Yeah.
This one. Yeah.
Yeah, the flat-roofed one. That's what I've always wanted. I can't explain why, but I have a thing about carports. I find them quite sexy. My dreams are achievable. That's what my dreams are. They're entirely achievable.
On dreams, do you, every year, on 1st of January, do a vision board?
No, of course I don't.
Okay, you're going to laugh.
Do you?
I'm going to do you a quick swiz. I do.
Right. Oh, my God. Let me see that. Bring that back.
No, I can't.
Bring it back. Go on. No, let me, I can't see it. But, oh, my God, you actually do. Oh, my God, you've got a vision board.
And can I just tell you something, though?
He's got Life of the Apollo on there.
This year, I put on BBC, and I did BBC jobs. I did voiceover, and I've done one voiceover a month. I did Channel 5, and I filmed a Channel 5 comedy drama. Hollyoaks, I've not yet achieved. ITV, I've not done that this year yet. Get a New Agent, achieved. There was a certain amount of money, achieved. Holly Willoughby, I've not met yet.
What?
Hollywood.
Yeah.
I was meant to go, but then I got Live at the Apollo, and I was meant to go and meet a certain celebrity, but that's been pushed to next year, but that still counts. Then I put on there 50,000 followers. I am 20 followers off 100,000 followers. Live at the Apollo and to still be with Rich. It's all come true apart from Holly Willoughby and Hollyoaks.
Oh, well done. That's incredible.
I've still got 4 months.
You've still got... What do you want to do with Holly Willoughby?
I just want to meet her. I think she's a really good presenter and I want... Well, and I want to learn how to present like she does.
Okay, well, you can make that happen.
I want
you
her
can
to
make...
be my guru. Because I'm a good presenter, but sometimes I get distracted, whereas Holly Willoughby is very professional.
Well, she's had quite a lot of stuff to keep her distracted the last year, hasn't she?
I know, and she kept focused. She kept reading the auto cue. I'll be like, welcome to Slabs on the Farm. Oh, my God, there's a pig! Which is why I'm no Tom Allen.
No, okay. I'm just amazed that that's your go-to guru for presenting.
Who else would it be? Because I think there's actually a lot of bad presenters.
Okay.
I think they get away with it because they're already, like, very famous. I think there's a lot of people that are like...
Well, nobody teaches you how to do it, really. That's the weird thing, isn't it?
Exactly,
I did.
That's why
this
I
time
was...
last year, I presented one episode of Sunday Morning Live.
I know, I took a picture.
Yeah, and the weird thing was, Stephen, nobody at any point asked me whether I had ever presented a live show before. Not one person thought to ask me that. And the whole time I was in my head, I thought, should I tell them I've never actually presented a live television show before? I mean, I didn't want to unnerve them, but I was unnerved myself. That I was like, it was like being given the keys to a car as a sort of 6-year-old. You're like, I know what to do. I think I know what to do, but I don't think this should be allowed. And
did you have in-ear?
Yeah, I did ear. I did ear. And an in-ear.
I hate in-ear. So for everyone listening, in-ear is like this thing they shove in the ear that you lot can't see, but someone's talking to you. So you feel, so you've got your own voice coming out of your mouth, then you've got the own voices you normally have in your head where it's going, why am I here? Why have they not booked someone else? I hate myself. I hate myself. I hate myself. And then you have an actual producer going, you're really bad at this. You're terrible. You're terrible. And then you
cut
have
to this. Yeah.
The actual person going, 3 seconds to wrap up, please, Stephen. And then you're like, well, what's 3 fucking seconds? It's like when the sat nav says in a mile turn left, what's a fucking mile?
It's very hard to stay on focus when you've got 3 people talking in your head and an interviewee in front of you. And what I tend to do was when that was happening to me, I realised that I look like, you know, chameleons whose eyes go different directions.
Yeah.
Like, I'd lose focus to the point where one eye would just gently swivel around to one side and another eye would go up because I couldn't, like, it couldn't departmentalise everything in my head. Anyway, they never asked me back, so maybe I just didn't need to tell them I'd never done live television before. They just pretty quickly worked that out for themselves.
Maybe they're going to ask you back. I actually saw Sean at Global the other day.
Oh, I like Sean. Yeah. He's very sweet and
maybe
lovely.
Maybe that's a sign.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I love your vision board.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't have one.
So you printed it off and framed it?
Yeah, of course, because then the idea of them is that you kind of see them every day. Why are you laughing? You see them every day, and so subconsciously you're going, duh, duh. But I've achieved most of it, and I've got
more
left. What am I meant to do for the rest of the year?
Well, you've got two hollies. That'll happen around Christmas time, clearly. Hollywood and Holly Willoughby. Maybe you'll meet Holly Willoughby in Hollywood. Oh, my God, and you just kill two hollies with one stone.
Oh, I'd love that. I don't know what to put on my vision board for next year. Well, jury's out. The jury's in. That's where I like to stay.
Yeah, that's more likely, isn't it? Well, can we put on your vision board? Because yours clearly works. 100,000 listeners okay. Let's talk about the husband.
I think we should aim for 5,000 and go from there.
Can we say 10?
Okay, 10.
Put 10,000 listeners to Let's Talk About the Husband. Weekly, regular listeners.
Regular listeners. Yeah.
That's a good one to have.
I'm going to have a sold out tour on there.
Okay.
Yeah. Going on tour. StephenComedy.co.uk. Don't know what else. I just want to, this is what I'm going to tell you. This is what I wanted to say to you. No is a full sentence. That's
okay.
What to talk about? No.
Go on.
Is a full sentence.
Hit me with your thoughts on this. Go on.
Because let's face it, we're both pussies. Me and you are pussies.
Right.
So we get ourselves in a lot of trouble because we don't use no as a full sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And I... Right, let's navigate this. I say yes to so many jobs that I end up having no time off. I have no time to spend the money. I have no time to see Rich or my nephews or people I actually want to be around. And I find myself saying yes to these jobs that are like 5 hours away from where I live during a cost of living crisis. So like the fuel's high, everything's high, but they don't up the fee. Then they're like, we don't provide a hotel. So you have to put your own freaking hotel. And then I got to the point where I was like, why am I sat in hotels on my own all week while Rich's loft is getting converted so I can't even go to his house? And then I found myself going, like, if someone goes, can you come do this for us? And I go, in my head I'm going, that's so far away, it's not worth it for the fuel, everyone will be making money except me, I won't enjoy it, I'm not going to get anything out of it, I'm not even doing a tour show around there to sell tickets, and I say yes,
I know,
out of my mouth.
Well, we've been here before, haven't we? We've been here before with this with you. Now, you know, I'm not going to say I'm losing my patience. But this is going to be the last time we discuss this, Stephen. Otherwise, I can't see any progress in your development.
But there has been progress.
Oh, go on.
I, last week, sat there and I thought, do you know Grace Campbell?
Yes.
She said to me, when you're offered something, and this is like a life plan or a job plan, anything, any sort of plan, think about when it actually comes, will you say, I regret saying yes to this? Or I wish I'd have said no. Like, and if you can already see yourself now, in a month's time, going, I wish I'd said no to this.
Yeah.
You have to say no immediately. Don't think about anything else. Don't think about, like, you know, oh, but I don't want to let this person down. Or just think about how you will feel in that time.
On the day.
You're setting yourself up to be miserable in 2 months' time.
It's true. You're sort of postponing the misery. I totally get that.
So
I completely agree.
And I went through my diary for the next year and I thought, what do I have already regretted? And I emailed everyone that I wanted to take out and said, I can't do this anymore. And everyone, some life plans as well, got a long, like, a good bit of notice so it doesn't affect anyone. And now I look at my diary and there's nothing in that I'm dreading.
Is there anything in at all?
There's nothing in.
You see, I love this. I love this sort of, you know, motivational speak of the power of no. And then when you take it too far, it's absolutely fuck all left. There's nothing left. I've been experimenting with the power of no. And how's that going? I can no longer afford to eat.
Yeah.
I can no longer eat. So I'm saying no to food, no to shelter, no to heating, no to clothes.
Well, that's I came up with rules, actually. I came up with boundaries. I wrote them down. Should I read them to you? Hold on.
Go on. Let me read them. This is fascinating.
Jane. Why is it?
Well, I had no idea you had a vision board, and that's still freaking me out. But I'm so impressed that you've managed to achieve so much on your vision board. So I'm going to totally get one next year.
Are you feeling like I've got crystals shoved up my asshole?
That's where they should go.
Yeah,
that's where they feel the good vibrations.
So, my rule for work is it has to be, you have to be able to turn a profit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like after agent fees, tax, petrol, so that's just good business.
Yes.
It has to be local. It doesn't have to be all these things. It has to be one or the other. So you have to turn a good profit.
Or
it has to be local, so it doesn't affect you in travel because trains are outrageous, petrol's outrageous. Mm-hmm. Or it has to be a profile boost. Now, I know I'm speaking very specific to, like, our jobs, but if you look at your own job as well, like, mm-hmm. you can look at things where you go, that's not beneficial to me, that's not beneficial. So you can put in your own boundaries. And then with life, it's a similar thing. So I went out with my gays, and we went mm-hmm. to see a musical, and then we went to gay dancing. And then they all wanted to go to this club called Cruise 101 in Manchester.
Cruise 101.
But it's open until about 6 a.m. I might be misspeaking, but it's open really, really late. So I went out with them, and the 1 a.m. was my boundary. I was like, I'm going to go home now with a boneless banquet for one. And then the next day, I was still able to get up at 9 a.m. I wasn't shit-faced. I wasn't hungover. But I'd had a great night till 1.
Yeah.
Whereas I texted them yesterday, and they did not respond till about 10 p.m.
Right, okay.
Because they were unconscious gays.
Oh, God. What's it called? Cruise what?
101.
Is that an innuendo?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's one of those like gay nightclubs, you know, where all the men are shirtless. And a little bit of me feels like when I was 18 and I went there, I was like, oh, this is fun. Now I'm 30 plus VAT.
Yeah.
I feel like, I'm not sure this is for my...
Did you get your shirt off?
Never. Not then. And then, oh, I was lovely and gaunt back then.
I used to, when I was younger, in my 20s and 30s, and I was a massive clubber in London, I spent most of my weekends in huge raves with thousands of gay men, all shirtless.
Is that about vaginas again?
No, there was nothing, there was very few women there at all. I just much preferred the music that gay men listened to. And, I spent a lot of time in very dark, dingy clubs with a lot of bears. Happy days.
That's basically what my gays went to this weekend.
Yeah, happy days. There was one time, I remember years and years ago, I was with Cindy at the point, we'd been out Christmas shopping in London. Right, we had loads of shopping bags with us, loads of bags shopping, purchased all our Christmas presents. We were on the tube platform in Oxford Circus, and it was probably about 10 o'clock at night. We'd had something to eat or whatever. And I said, should we go home or should we go clubbing? She went, fuck it, let's go clubbing. So we got on the other... We crossed platforms, went down to Vauxhall, went down to Crash, I think it was, in Vauxhall.
Oh, my God.
Which was quite a hardcore gay boy club. Went in there with all of our shopping and danced the night away on this dance floor with around our shopping. Yeah.
I love that. But having said that, I do think those are the best nights nowadays, where it's like sometimes I met my friend Sarah at like 2 p.m. for a lovely Wednesday lunch, and I've been in Manchester's Gay Village till 2 a.m. Thursday, and they're the best ones.
Brilliant, brilliant. I haven't done that for a long time. I've been off the booze.
Stephen.
Yeah, how
are you finding it?
Days are long, aren't they? Days can get quite long. Like, people say life is short, and then you give up drinking. You're like, it's not that short. This day's gone on for weeks. It's gone on for weeks. I'm going to bed earlier and earlier and earlier. I was in bed at 9:30 last night.
But you must feel better for it.
Well, I woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning. I was ready to get up. And I was like, oh fuck, I'm sorry. Yeah. Do you know what happened last night? I must have gone to sleep on my back. And I could, you know when you can sort of hear yourself snoring?
Yes.
That sort of...
Oh, that's what Rich yeah. does. It's so annoying. Yes.
And then the next thing, I felt this prodding on my shoulder, right? Like prod. And I was like, oh, it must be Cindy trying to wake me up because I've fallen asleep on my back. It was my dog. My dog was trying to wake me up because I was like, snoring.
This needs yeah. to be reined in.
My 17-year-old Jack Russell was tapping me on the shoulder, going, stop it.
That's so funny.
And he farts uncontrollably. That's he's like a tube now. He's like a furry tube. Everything's sort of loosely held in. If he jumps, he farts. He just, yeah.
Well, that's like me at the gym.
Oh, God, do you know what? I did a gym class the other day, and it was quite a brutal gym class. There was a lot of ab work, but it was made triply difficult because I was trying to keep in a fart, and I'm sure I'd work doubly as hard as anybody else in that gym, just trying to keep it. Do you ever let it go? Do you ever just let it go?
Yeah, I just let it go, especially if I know it's going to be silent, and then when the smell surrounds me, I just go for a stroll. The other thing I've started doing, though, it might be a good tip for you, is start having a busker pan now before I go.
Oh, do you? Does that help? Does that break it down?
Before I go. And I went yesterday. This is how much I've got into the gym. You're going to be dead proud of me. Then we have to talk about the husband. It's nearly an hour. yesterday, went to brunch with my gym friends. Just take a moment.
Did you have something with broccoli and seeds on it?
No, I was like, I'm having a roast later, so I'm just going to have a little... I'm just going to have a cappuccino and a... Do you have iced water? And iced water now. I'm just here for the social. And then they were ordering things like hash browns and bacon butties. I was like, you bad gym people. You bad
gym yeah. Wow, you've changed, Stephen. Brunch with your gym bunnies. No. Gym bunny brunch. Oh, wow.
So on that note, should we talk about the husband?
Let's!
Husband of the week.
Funny when that happens, isn't it?
It doesn't just happen. Somebody makes it happen, Steve. It's not magic. Yeah. You just stick that on your storyboard and suddenly the fucking theme tune pops out. Somebody's actually doing
board,
that.
Vision board, not a storyboard. It's not a Marvel film.
Vision board. Go on.
Who's yours?
My husband of the week. Yeah. Is the entire Welsh rugby team.
Pourquoi?
I've been watching the Rugby World Cup from France and thoroughly enjoying it. No, it's not a euphemism. It's not a euphemism. And I was watching Wales yesterday and they did very well. And I'm just amazed and astounded at the size of these men. I've got a thing for big men. And the Welsh team seemed particularly meaty. Well, don't get me on Tonga. Wow. Good Lord. It's like a woo. They're like moving walls of human muscle.
Tonga a person?
Tonga is a place, love. You can Google that later. Stick that on your vision board.
Tonga, another euphemism, another lesbian thing.
Is it a person? Tonga. Imagine if there was a lesbian called Tonga. You'd have to change your name, wouldn't you? You'd have to change your name. Yeah, this is Melissa Tonga. Is it? Really? Is it really?
Hilarious.
So, yeah, I'll take the entire... And my husband of the week is the entire Welsh team. Particularly the flankers. I love a flanker.
What a flanker.
Yours?
My husband of the week is Nikita from Strictly. Because they did a dance this week and something just... Are you going to tell me you know Nikita?
I'm just going to bring up a picture of me with Nikita. Go on, keep talking.
How did you meet Nikita? And they did this dance where they were partly in Scotland and then they magically appeared in the studio, obviously by their vision board. And,
yeah.
They did it to that song that everybody wants to rule the world. And I can't stop thinking about it is for fears is correct. Fuck off. How? Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh. Do you follow each other on Instagram?
Look how cute we look.
How are you on the Strictly episode?
Yeah, we look so cute. I think we'd make a lovely couple. Don't you think?
Look at us. Off now.
Yeah, we're really happy, me and Nikita.
Does he follow you on Instagram? I'm going to check.
I don't know if I follow him in a sad way. I don't think he follows me. That happens sometimes. When I follow them and you just automatically assume they're going to follow you back and then they don't. And you're like, oh, I see where
we are.
I
hate... Do you know what I do then, though? I go back and I unfollow them.
Do you?
Yep. Spiteful. God, he is not following you.
Oh, no.
He's following Zoe Ball.
Oh, always get gazumped by that one.
Oh, my God. Always. His dance. I'm going to have to send you his dance to watch. Just a touch of your love. He did... Oh, my God. He follows Ellie Taylor. That'll be my in. Who needs you?
This is embarrassing then, isn't it? You know, you feel you have a connection. That's what happens. You feel you have a connection and then nothing there.
I need you to share one of my reels. I'm only 20 followers away from 100,000 followers. I need to get in your lesbian algorithm.
Okay.
Also a euphemism.
So that's your husband. I tell you what, he's got love, because I gave him a little hug. Very strong arms.
Oh, yeah, you can tell. Honest God, I'm going to send you two videos and you're going to have to watch them.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm actually sending you a video now to say, please share. Okay, let's wrap this up. So, what do we say at this bit? I forgot.
I don't know. Is this the last of the current series?
Yes, it's the end of the current series. We will be back because, you know.
Well, will we? Yes, because we're going to put it on. We will be back. Dear listeners, we will be back because I'm going to, right after recording this show, I'm going to get myself a little cork board, as is my way, and I'm going to vision board the shit out of the next 12 months. And on that vision board, I'm going to put 10,000 listeners a week. Let's talk about the husband. And, Stephen's made it come true, so why wouldn't it happen?
Because you don't believe as much as I believe.
I do believe now, because I've seen you, and now I believe. I believe, Stephen. I believe.
There can be miracles.
And I'll need the money from some sort of patron system, because I'm just about to buy a house.
We'll just get it from advertisers, and then we'll do a live show, and then we'll make loads of money from that.
Do you reckon? What would you possibly advertise with our combination?
Something lesbian, the way you've been going on today. Like, I don't know, jiggle balls or something. What are they called? Anal beads.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Love balls.
Love balls. Love egg. Yeah.
No, we won't be advertising love eggs. No, not doing that. Unless they come in a powdered form. Anyway.
Don't know what that means.
We're doing the podcast awards this week. I mean, not this week. This will go out, but
this will be in the past. We'll have done the podcast awards. It went really well.
It'll have gone really well.
Someone very famous.
Yeah, you'll be. I can see what's going to happen now. You'll meet Holly Willoughby at the podcast awards. She'll say, I think we should do a podcast, and then I'll be dumped by the sideline. Oh, I can see how this has got to pan out.
Me and Holly Willoughby could do This Evening with Steve and Holly.
Yeah, well, me and Nikita will do I'll Show You My Shuffle If You Show Me Yours, and we'll be very happy together.
Right, well, until next series, dear listeners, thanks for being with us. I hope you've been sharing, and follow us on Instagram at Stephen Comedy, Stephen with a PH, and at Zoe Lyons Comedy, Lyons with a Y.
Why am I here?
Oh, next coming back, Zoe will have a big house and a better attitude.
Until I will.
Then, cheerio!
Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.